Mandy was seated on a cool rock. The long walk had been hard on her legs. She found the rock's coolness soothing. They were now sat atop a hillside. It had only taken them 3 hours to get here. But she had to admit that Glenn was right. It was a very impressive view. Glenn marched over with Stuart, a big grin over his face.
Right, that's the men's work done with.
He chuckled.
Both tents up, and a very good job if I do say so myself.
Hey, where's Sarah?
Stuart asked, realising his girlfriend was not seated next to Mandy. Mandy blushed slightly at the question.
Oh, she's around.
She smiled. Their wonder was soon broken as a cry of,
Oh, you've done it,
was heard. The full figure of Sarah came lumbering up the hill, her hands firmly pulling up the zip of her trousers.
You okay, babe?
Yeah, but you got to do something about the lack of loos in the Peak District.
Did you manage okay?
Yeah. But you guys best not go over there for a while.
You want to inspect our handiwork?
Ooh, tents!
Quickly, she grabbed Stuart's hand and forcibly pulled it into the open tent.
What?
Within seconds, the zip was pulled shut swiftly.
Well, that's them sorted for a while. Are you enjoying yourself?
Mandy was lost, completely. She had never seen so much green. City life was all she had known. Glenn opened her up to so much. She ran into him at the gym, quite by accident. Literally, her running machine went haywire and flung her across the room into his open arms. It was him who had suggested coming to the Peak District for the camping weekend. His mate Stuart and his girlfriend then decided to tag along, but Mandy had to admit, watching the ample Sarah trudge over the hills had been amusing. She watched as the hunk of Glenn watched over their bags and produced two sticks.
What are they for?
Watch.
He rubbed the two sticks together into a pile of twigs he had collected. They fizzled and then fire erupted gently into existence.
Nice.
Best I can do for that candle lighting effect.
He slipped himself onto the rock beside her. Mandy snuggled up to him.
Maybe we should get some sleep.
Maybe.
Both of them lay there silently staring into the sky as the sun went down and the dusk fell. Then, quietly as the hills started to cool, they both retreated into Glenn's inviting tent, extinguishing the fire as they went. The following morning, Mandy woke with a start. She now realised that she needed to go to the toilet and had to face Sarah's dilemma of where to go. She reached over for Glenn's big coat and wrapped it around her. Quietly, she unzipped the tent and slipped outside. Her face was lit with a sharp wind that whipped up and thick grey fog. She stood still, taking in the difference of weather, and then a few seconds she remembered that she needed to pee. Quickly, she tried to recount her steps back to the opposite side of the hill away from the camp. She couldn't remember exactly where she needed to be, and then realised the fog provided an excellent cover. Once she thought she was far enough, she did what she had to do. En route back to the tents, Mandy thought she saw a figure moving quickly in the fog.
Morning!
Mandy called out, not wanting to seem rude.
Mandy?
Mandy moved towards the figure. Evidently, the figure became clearer and it was Stuart. Sweat running off his brow, and his eyes looked about wildly.
Hey, Stuart, you okay? Sarah keep you up all night?
Where is she?
Stuart grabbed hold of Mandy and started to shake her.
Is this some sort of game?
Stuart, you're hurting me!
Mandy cried as she could feel Stuart's fierce grip through Glenn's thick coat. Mandy found herself being pushed to the ground. Instantly, she called out for Glenn. No sooner had she done this, but out of the fog came a thick figure of Glenn, still dressed in his sleeping shirt and boxers.
What's going on?
Something's up with Stuart.
Stu?
You know where she is, don't you?
Sorry, man. I don't know what's going on here.
Before he could say anything further, Stuart made a swift punch to Glenn's head. Blood cascaded from Glenn's nose. Mandy watched as she could see the pain in Glenn's face turn to anger. Glenn lunged forwards, knocking Stuart off his feet. The two of them rolled away, punching and kicking each other as they were enveloped by the fog. Mandy picked herself up and listened into the mist, and she could hear the two grunting as they exerted themselves. Then the noise quickly stopped.
Ah! Oh my!
She heard Glenn cry out. From Stuart, all she could hear were high whoops of terror. Curious, she raced towards where the sounds came from. As soon as she got to where she wished she hadn't, she was greeted with the sight of Glenn backing away, his face white. Stuart was huddled on the floor, sobbing and rocking. Glenn turned to face Mandy. He tried to say something, but his mouth was dry. Mandy stepped gently towards Stuart's body and then realized he was cradling something. She leaned over his shoulder and discovered that he was nursing the upper flabby and bloody torso of Sara. Bile began to rise in her mouth and she darted for Glenn's arms. He held her tight.
Which one of you did this?
What? How do you think we could do this, man?
There's only us here!
Before any of them could respond further, a wheezing, groaning sound echoed over the hill.
What was that?
Sarah's murderer. Some sort of beast.
What are you thinking, Stu?
But Stuart didn't answer. He darted forward into the fog in the direction of this new noise and disappeared.
What do we do now?
Mandy sobbed as she stared at Sara's half-mauled body.
We're no help to him. We should get our stuff together and head back the way we came. See if we can get help.
What about Sara?
We'll have to leave her.
Not even bury her?
The police may want to examine the body. We have to leave everything as it is.
Together, they left the upper body of Sara and headed back to the camp. It had taken them 20 minutes to put everything into their backpacks. They decided that dismantling the tents wouldn't take too long, and so they left him. They also thought it would make a good marker for when they brought the police in. Glenn had a good sense of direction, and he began to recount his steps from the previous day. However, Mandy soon began to wonder about her abused sense of directions. They had been walking for about 5 hours, no more noises and no Stuart. But she realized it had only taken them 3 hours to get to the top of the hill yesterday. The fog was still thick and very little could be seen. Then it hit her.
Glenn, are we lost?
Glenn turned around quickly. His face was still and he shrugged his shoulders.
Oh, terrific. When were you going to tell?
I didn't want to upset you.
Newsflash, genius, it didn't bloody work.
Glenn was silent. Mandy was close to tears, and another voice appeared, a female one.
Admit it, we're lost.
Mandy turned into the direction of the new voice, and then a man's voice replied.
No, we're not.
Out of the fog stepped a young woman and a man in Edwardian clothes.
Go on then, ask them for directions,
started the woman, pointing at Glenn and Mandy.
Well, I wonder, could you...
The man stopped and stepped back. He shrugged. The young woman sighed and stepped forward.
Hi, I'm Sammy and this is the Doctor. Can you direct us to Blackpool?
Sorry, you're quite a way off. This is the Peak District.
Sammy turned to the Doctor.
You see, how hard was that?
You have to understand that asking for directions is just not a male function in any species.
Yes, but we're not even in Blackpool.
She waved her hands at him.
No, that is weird. I never seem to get there. Get the feeling I have something to do there.
Sammy turned back to Mandy and Glenn.
Do you know where the nearest village is? We have been separated from our vehicle and can't find anything through this fog.
Mandy then recounted that they were also lost. Before she had the chance to say something else, Glenn rushed forward and asked Sammy and the Doctor if they'd seen Stuart. Both of them apologised and said they hadn't. It was here that the strong and dependable Glenn broke down into tears, and the recent events on the hillside, Sara, Stuart and the noise, were all told to Sammy and the Doctor. Mandy watched as Sammy seemed very shocked, but more surprising was the curiosity that played across the Doctor's face. He seemed very keen on hearing Glenn's tale in its fullness. When Glenn reached the end of the story, Sammy and the Doctor exchanged a quick glance at each other and smiled.
Do you think you could find your camp?
Probably, but we need aid.
And you've got it. Monsters are our speciality.
Plus, with the fog as bad as it is, you'll never find your way back to civilization at this hour before dark. Your camp is only 5 hours away.
Glenn looked crestfallen at Mandy.
He's right,
he said quietly. Finding the camp had been easy. Convincing Mandy to return, however, had not been so great. She just had a feeling that this was a bad idea. But Sammy had convinced her they would be safe. Tomorrow the fog would probably lift, and they could get to the nearest village a lot quicker. The two tents were exactly where they had left them a few hours ago. The Doctor immediately darted forward and pushed his way into Stuart and Sara's tent. Everyone heard the Doctor clattering through Stuart and Sara's personal belongings. After a few minutes, Sammy stepped in after him. All was quiet for about 10 minutes. Mandy made the step forward and the Doctor burst forth from the tent.
Take me to the body.
Whoa! No way.
Glenn shook his head. Mandy took a deep breath and heard herself say,
this way.
She and the Doctor disappeared into the fog.
This is crazy.
Oh, he's just warming up, so tell me more about what happened last night.
Glenn again recounted how he and Mandy had lit a fire, sat under the stars and gone to bed. Sammy looked around the campsite, confused.
Where did you set the fire?
Glenn glanced over the ground as best he could and pointed to a little black patch.
I've always been impressed with people who could do that. You know, light fires with twigs.
It's easy.
Glenn cheered up and took off his backpack.
Here, I'll show you.
He produced some twigs that he had picked up the other day and began to assemble the fire. He brought out his ignition twigs and rubbed them. The flame appeared.
Impressive.
After a few minutes, the doctor and Mandy returned to the camp. The doctor had not been able to glean much from Sarah's remains. It appeared whatever attacked her had secreted some form of acid into her. Her body was decaying. Any teeth or claw marks were so eroded now that it made identifying her attacker impossible. Night was drawing in, and the doctor decided that they should all get some rest. He and Sammy took Sarah's and Stuart's tent. Glenn doused the fire with dust from the ground, and he and Mandy retired also. Glenn had dropped off instantly, but Mandy was not able to sleep. She grabbed Glenn's coat and headed to the tent next door as she opened it to see the doctor was sat with his fingers steepled as if deep in thought.
Are you okay?
Oh, sorry, didn't see you there. Perhaps the question should be, are you okay?
I've had better days. Where's Sam?
She popped out for a breath of fresh air.
Sammy really felt for these two guys that she and the doctor had come across. She thought what a great time they must have been having until it all went to hell. But she had to get out of the tent. She was atop the hillside and just keeping the tents below her. When the doctor is thinking, he tends to do it out loud, so the chance of any sleep in the near vicinity was impossible. She was amazed how thick the fog was, but her amazement soon turned to horror. A large, lumbering shadow appeared overhead. She gasped as it passed her and moved towards the camp. Then within a second, she heard a terrifying male cry. It was Glenn. She darted down the hillside and watched as the shadow raised Glenn out of the tent and into the night. The doctor and Mandy had also come out of their tent, but all they were greeted to was the sight of Glenn's upper torso and legs as they dropped, separated and lifeless on the ground.
Your officer,
the doctor cried. Mandy erupted into shrieks. Sammy stopped running to see the doctor kneel to Glenn's body. And then the shadow loomed over the doctor.
Look out!
Mandy darted back into the tent, terrified. The doctor looked up and watched as the shadow lunged for him. Quickly, he rolled to one side and Sammy caught a glimpse of their attacker. It was a large lizard-like creature with a silver necklace.
A dragon?
No, Sam, get away, run. Here, beastie, look at me. Nice, juicy Time Lord.
The dragon then noticed Sammy. The dragon's head snapped towards her, but then it stopped and its eyes bulged slightly and its whole body dropped to the ground with a thud. Sammy peered forward to see a man sat on the beast's back. He had plunged a sharp branch directly through the dragon's neck. He retrieved his weapon, and it made a satisfying slurp as he did so.
That's another one vanquished,
the man stated, as he wiped the blood off his stick on the ground. The man turned to Sammy and smiled.
Are you all right, fair maiden?
You had me with saving me. Who are you?
The man bowed, somewhat theatrically, she thought.
I am George, son of Geronzio.
Well, thanks,
Sammy replied. Their meeting was soon interrupted by a ruffling of tent canvas as the doctor scrambled to remove himself from the remains of where he had fallen. Sammy raced over and helped him up.
Thank you, sir. Who's your boyfriend?
This is George.
I slayed the beast,
George replied, shaking his stick.
It's what I do.
Yes, quite.
The doctor brushed George aside and ran over to the dragon's prone form.
Oh dear, no.
What is it?
You poor, poor thing,
the doctor whispered, stroking the dragon. His hand moved over its neck and he noticed the necklace.
What was it, doctor?
Sammy asked, indicting the dragon.
This was a Camer, a beautiful race.
They killed the campers, though.
True, their digestive system does secrete acid into their food, just like Sarah's remains. But they are usually such gentle creatures. What happened to it?
Them, doctor.
Excuse me, what do you mean?
Them. There is a group of them. They were four, now they are two.
How do you know that?
Because I have killed two.
The doctor ripped the necklace off the Khmer's body and grabbed the stick from George. He shattered the stick over his knee and held the necklace up to George's face.
Why did you kill it? The other Camers on this planet will know of this one's death and they will come.
Then let them come. I will slay them all in the name of the Emperor,
George stated, pushing the necklace aside.
Emperor? George, old boy, what year is this?
This is the year 285.
George stated as if he was talking to an idiot.
Hang on, is he from the past?
Can't be. Look at his clothes, modern day fibres. I doubt 285 had a top man around back then.
George Dragon, 285. This is weird.
Oh, goodness.
The doctor started to shake George's hand.
The Dragon Slayer, of course. The Camer. Dragons. George, old boy, what's going on here to you?
My lord has sent me back from death so that I can destroy these beasts totally.
You remember dying?
I remember being beheaded by the Emperor. My deeds for killing the dragon did not hold any weight, as the Emperor demanded I join the pagans.
That's right, you stayed with the Christians, didn't you? Sam, this is Saint George.
As in the Saint of England, the dragon guy.
George bowed again.
So it would seem.
At that point, Mandy re-emerged from the tent. Her tears were now fully dried up as she glanced over at Glenn's remains.
You okay?
I'll live.
I'm sorry for your loss. But come and meet St. George.
The doctor grabbed Mandy's arm and pulled her towards George. Mandy stood still in shock as she looked directly at the face of the man the doctor had called George.
Stuart?
Hey?
The doctor looked between Mandy and George.
This is George.
No, doctor. This is Stuart. The guy who ran off yesterday?
Are you Stuart?
I have no idea what the maiden is talking about,
George replied. Mandy quickly whipped out her purse and produced a photo of her, Glenn, Sarah and Stuart all crammed into a photo booth.
It is Stuart.
Before any of them could respond to this revelation of George / Stuart, they heard a large beating of leather in the sky.
What's that?
Before the doctor could respond, two Khmer landed surrounding all four of them. The doctor looked around and spotted an exit point between the creatures. He glanced over at Sammy and nodded. Sammy darted forward, pulling Mandy with her, and they slipped past the creatures. She then realised that they were not being followed. George / Stuart and the doctor were still stood between the two Khmer. One Khmer raised its large head and shrieked into the sky. Its huge jaw opened and it headed towards where the doctor was stood.
Doctor!
Sammy cried out.
Watch this. Roll over.
The two Khmer lay down and rolled over, just like dogs. The doctor was laughing and patting one of them on the tummy.
It's okay, you can come back.
Tentatively, Sammy and Mandy stepped back between the two creatures.
Who's a good boy?
The doctor stroked the other Khmer.
I don't get it.
Yeah, what's going on?
Khmers are pets. It seems this group of four were left in Palestine many years ago by their owners. After George here killed one of them, they came to England to hide in the Peak District from man. They found a spot with a small river not far from here.
So?
Ah, yes. Well, I have offered them a lift home and they have agreed. They're sorry for eating your friends, Mandy, but they were worried that they were being hunted.
That does not explain how you communicated with...
The doctor smiled and held up the necklace in his hand.
But this does. They are telepathic creatures and they communicate through these. I'm slightly telepathic, so I speak to them through this.
This is too much to comprehend.
The doctor put his arm around George / Stuart.
That brings us to you. I'm sorry, Stuart, but you are not George.
I am!
No, you only think you are. I found remnants of George in the telepathic field of the Khmer.
Now I am lost.
Well, when George was killed, his hatred for the Khmer after slaying one of them was immense. Basically, the Khmer hadn't left Palestine by then, and so the essence, the raw hatred of George here, found its way into their telepathic field where it's been ever since.
Until it found deranged Stuart here.
Very good.
So I'm not real.
I'm sorry, but it's time for you to go.
The doctor held up the necklace and closed his eyes. A light shone from the necklace and engulfed George / Stuart.
It's probably for the best. I guess you're a better monster hunter than me, Doctor.
I never asked to be, but thank you. Godspeed.
Lights shone up from the sky from George / Stuart's body. The fog instantly parted and vanished. So too had Stuart's body.
Where have they gone?
Hopefully someplace better.
The doctor turned to Sammy, Mandy and the Khmer.
Let's go home. Do any of you realise that today is April 23rd?
Silently, they all left the hill, and steadily the fog began to roll back in again. None of them felt like celebrating this St. George's Day.